Welcome to Kansas City Cannabis, where local roots and city pride thrive. Whether you're new or seasoned to cannabis, our expert bud tenders offer guidance and a welcoming atmosphere at our four KC locations. Experience genuine service and hometown heart. Visit kccannabis.org for more.
Fourth quarter of the program begins right now. Always looking to finish strong, we are here in the fourth quarter. Thanks for joining us here in the program. Two-minute drill. We get out of the way of head coach Andy Reid. Had that a little bit earlier. Now it's time to go around the country. 2 minutes at a time. We'll start things off. Rob in Indy, is that correct? JMV, 1070 The Fan in Indianapolis, Indiana, is in the leadoff spot. JMV, how are you, buddy?
What are you up to in Kansas City? What did Andy Reid have to say? Did I miss anything?
Oh, I mean, just barrels of inside information. Just absolutely gave us the game plan, where they think they've got distinct advantages. It is everything you
know,
think and more.
I've been coming on with you forever, and I love you, big fella. You know that. And I always will. I love coming on to Kansas City. But you have never, ever used your pull, your massive weight around there, not literally, but figuratively in the radio world, to get George Brett on my show. Why is that?
is that your goal? Is that your want in life?
It is. Because I was a huge George Brett fan. Now, obviously, I'm a Reds fan, and I love the big red machine, but I love George Brett. I mean, I can go in full detail. I think I told you the story about the hitting camp that I almost attended in Braggadocio, Missouri, once upon a time, back in 1982, after he tried to track down. But 1980, he was close to 400. He had 390, and he had a hitting camp. He and Charlie Lau, his hitting instructor in Braggadocio. And I wussed out. I didn't go, but I wanted to go really bad.
All right. I will get to work on it. I'll see if I can make those dreams come true.
If there's anybody around there that can get it done, I figured it was you. That's why I started the source right there. I thought, man, if anybody's going to pull at you.
Exactly. Well thought out. We'll see how well I do. I'll see what I can make happen.
All right,
let's talk about your beloved Colts. Is this team for real? And after a slow start and knocking some rust off for Andrew Luck, in reality, maybe as good as anybody in the AFC.
Yeah, I think the results are real. I don't think there's any question about that. Now, I also believe that on any given Sunday, cliche there, that they're capable of losing to about anybody. And, I mean, I think they're still capable of looking as they did in Jacksonville 2 weeks ago, but at the same time, I think they're also capable, with a lot of confidence, feeling good, and a defense and an offensive line that's playing well, to give it to anybody. And I mean anybody across the board. So, yeah, I mean, I think what we see is for real. I think it's young and for real. That's why I don't know if you can always count on it. But to me, it's well ahead of schedule. This was a complete rebuild, and starting out 1-5 and then doing what they've done here in the past couple of months is really impressive. And, they'd be a tough out if they can just get in, and it may come down to the fact that they went for it on fourth down, and what was that ill-fated call back in September that everybody around here seems to think is great, except for me. But it may come down to that, maybe a couple of other things, but they're playing well, no doubt.
Giants at home and then at the Titans is how they finish. What was the word on Chris Ballard at 1-5? What's the word on him now?
No, I think what he has done is really good. I mean, the 2018 draft has been, you can just look at the accomplishments up and down right there, Darius Leonard, Braden Smith, and now you see the emergence of Tyquan Lewis. I mean, just that draft has turned out to be great. I mean, the 2018 was so-so, but I think he's going to be known for this. I mean, known for loving and wanting Josh McDaniels, which I absolutely hated, and I was glad when that weasel backed out at the last minute. He's going to be known for that. And then, not having Frank Reich in his top eight, and I'll be honest with you, Frank Reich has been perfect for this team, absolutely perfect. And I think he is a great X and O's guy for an offensive guy. But at the same time, he's got that kind of calm, cool, collected over on the sideline that just is necessary. I think you look over at him, and the players have said this too, and you just feel as if everything is going to be all right. And I think that is of major importance. He reminds me kind of a Dungy in that capacity a little bit. I mean, things could be just going haywire around you, but you look over at Dungy and you feel as if everything is going to be okay. And I think Reich, it's the reason why Dungy really liked him and why Foley really liked him, and certainly Jim Irsay liked him, because they were the three guys that went out and got him when McDaniels around here backed out. They were the ones that went out and got him. There's a reason why, and I think there's a connection between how Dungy acts on the sideline and Reich has been perfect.
Yeah, and that is one of the big turnarounds. I mean, to go from 1-5, the Chiefs did it a number of years ago. The Colts are chasing that, and we'll see if they can get there. How much better is Andrew Luck now than he was at the beginning of the year? And is there a feeling that he's going to be the old Andrew Luck?
Yeah, I think he's even better than the old Andrew Luck, because he's more mature and he's smarter. And I think you saw this yesterday. I mean, it was kind of a ho-hum, about 92, didn't do anything great, didn't do anything wrong. The defense played well, and they ran the football. You know what I mean? I mean, handed it off, called the plays, didn't make any mistakes. He can't be super when called upon to be super. But the thing he doesn't do anymore, and honestly, I didn't think that was ever going to come out. I always thought you're always going to have to live with the forced throw, the bad throw, just the kind of the boneheaded decision-making. But he hasn't been that this year at all. And that, I think, is a compliment to the offense, certainly, which is shortened up. Quicker, doesn't put him in harm's way as much. I think it's also a tip of the cap to the offensive line, which has protected him. And I think overall he does not feel as if he has to carry this team as he did, for example, when you guys saw him in the postseason years ago, or he did throughout what was the ridiculous Pagano and Grigson era around here, because it was him and then everybody else. And now it's them. You know, it's more of a team concept, which certainly benefits him. I think Drew Brees told me over the summer that he thought that because of working with Tom House and what he was going through, that he was going to come back a much better quarterback. And Drew Brees is absolutely right. I think you're just kind of still scratching the surface of how much better he is going to be. Part two for Andrew Luck after that injured season he missed a year ago. He's been really good. I think that he's going to remain really good.
All right. What's the effect of the Pacers hiring the first woman to be a assistant general manager in the NBA?
Kelly's pretty smart. They have a really solid front office. I mean, they do. I mean, you guys know Kevin Pritchard a great deal over there because he hooped over in Lawrence. He's a really good guy. Has built this team with a lot about the locker room in mind too. And I'm going to give Kevin a great deal of decision making credit all the way around. He's got a great staff with it: Chad Buchanan and Pete Dinwiddie. And now Kelly, but he is going for wanting that team concept around here. He got put in a bad situation with Paul George because Paul George basically, you know, told him one thing and then went out in public and did something else, and then really put them in a bad spot. But man, whether it was a good guess, all that they can get, Luck, whatever. I mean, he came through with Oladipo and Sabonis, which was a great deal moving forward for this organization, and now he keeps kind of adding bits and pieces here and there that helps them. And you can see now, I think, with where they're on this 7-game consecutive win run right now, you can see where they're going. They handle it. I think what they look at first is the locker room and how everybody gets along and how dedicated you are. Things we kind of use as cliche or, you know, kind of laugh about sometimes. I think those things are absolutely true in that organization, within that locker room, and Kelly is incredibly smart, which is a great hire, and Kevin's done a great job with this team, this organization, and picking the people around it.
Indiana takes down Butler. How good are the Hoosiers?
I think they're going to be all right. I think better later than what they still are right now. I mean, it was a great shot, but, you know, had it dinged off the back iron, we'd be screaming today about how awful that play call was and how it took forever to come about. I mean, he jumped up and buried a 30-footer, which was great. I think this team, you know, young, is going to be much better with Juwan Morgan, who was an upperclassman, much better in the latter parts of the season. So speaking of scratching the surface, I think this Hoosier team is just now kind of scratching the surface. I think you're going to see a much better product and something that's not at all reminiscent of that clown show that we saw in Durham about 3 weeks ago in the ACC Big Ten Challenge. I think it's going to be really good in the latter parts of the season. And it's going to have to, because when you look around at a team like Michigan, I mean, Michigan is stacked, well-coached, possibly the best coach in the nation is John Beilein. And Big Ten's looking pretty strong, but I think the Hoosiers are going to be right there at the end.
I've said it for, all the way back at least 6 weeks ago when I became a Little League basketball coach. If it goes in, it's coaching. That's how it works. That's the official world of basketball. If it goes in, it's all on the coach. Congratulations.
I think you got to take credit for it if you're a coach, because there's so much you end up having to take the fall for that's absolutely not of your doing, right? I mean, so when you get that little kind of little bitty piece of, hey, this is what worked out, I mean, you say, this is, it's funny, Archie Miller in the postgame presser said, just to be honest, that's not how we drew it up. I mean, it wasn't how they drew it up, which is pretty funny, but the shot went in, and man, we know this, don't we? That's what matters. Now all you have to do is go out and get me George Brett.
Yes, I will work on that. I will work on that. You might tell Archie that he need only look to Andy Reid, who, when asked about the conversion on 4th and 9 for 48 yards, Patrick Mahomes to Tyreek Hill to beat the Baltimore Ravens or help beat the Baltimore Ravens, how the play was drawn up, Andy Reid said, just like that, just like that. That's actually the right answer for the coach.
Take full advantage of it, because, man, they're going to be coming after your head one of these days.
That's right. That's
right. Going to happen, right? So you know,
that's right.
Go ahead and build that resume right now with, hey, this is what I've done. That's really great.
JMV and Indy, great stuff as always, buddy. Appreciate it. Have a great week.
You're stud. See ya. Alan Days,
Fort Worth Nights. That's the Ari Temkin Life, 105.3 The Fan in Dallas, Texas. Ari, how are you, buddy?
I'm doing great, sir. How are you, buddy?
Good. Let's start with basketball. Luka Doncic, Rookie of the Year. Is he going to run away and hide with this? And how good can he be? Is he just a skill player and this is what he is? He's going to get a little bit better, but because there's a lack of high-end athleticism, maybe there's not that big ceiling. That's what I hear people talking about who didn't draft Luka Doncic. Is there still a lot of ceiling beyond the incredible SportsCenter highlight plays that he's making right now for the Mavericks?
Yeah, I mean, it's hard to think, but he does, because the number one part of his game, the ability to distribute, you know, be a legitimate point guard, like that really, he hasn't even scratched the surface potential there, because that's a familiarity, a chemistry thing that he's, you know, still in the early stages of developing. So, you know, once they have a good set rotation, and, you know, I think we'll see if they end up figuring out how to make it work with Dennis Smith, or if they end up trading him. But, I think once there's sort of this core group that's been there for some time, you'll really see this guy flourish, because, you know, one, he'll have a better chemistry and understanding of where everybody is going to be. And then two, the other thing too is, you know, I mean, when he played in Europe, he just did a great job in feasting on undersized ones, twos, and threes in the interior, kind of posting them up. And he's done that a little bit, but you think about adding some, you know, bulk to that frame, that body, there's the potential there for him to really take advantage of some of those mismatches in the interior with his size and ability. So, I mean, look, I get it. He's not overly athletic, but, I mean, I watched the film on him, and coming up in the draft, I thought I would have taken him as the number one pick without question. So, Ayton's good. There's no question I would have taken anybody other than Doncic. And the way he's playing right now, he's going to run away with it. I mean, he's on a historical level right now. When you think of, you know, the first months of LeBron's career or Larry Bird's career, I mean, he's in that conversation just when it comes to comparing those the beginnings of their careers with what Luka Doncic has done already.
Yeah, I'd say Bird and Magic, who also had a great start to his career and championship pedigree, because they were, neither one of those guys were the most athletic guy around, but incredibly skilled players. I think those are good comps. LeBron's pretty explosive, and Doncic's not going to bring that to it, but he is a tremendous talent. There's no doubt about it. Let's talk about the Cowboys. Not only do they lose, but they get shut out. How much does this slow down? What was a great momentum freight train there for them?
You know what I love about analyzing the NFL, and Seren, you know this better than anybody, you know, your team that you cover has flaws, whether you choose to acknowledge them or not, right? And those flaws are evident in wins and in losses. The difference in the way that we analyze is when you win, those flaws are camouflaged, and when you lose, those flaws are exposed and right there for everybody to see. Flaws nonetheless. And so that's the lesson here of the 2018 Dallas Cowboys. These flaws that were the reason why they lost this game were there, even through their five-game winning streak. They have inconsistent quarterback play. But when you analyze and you point that out, Cowboys fans call you a hater or say, well, you're, you know, he's winning and that's the only thing that matters. Yeah, well, sure, but you still have these things over the course of the game that show you that these are flaws, regardless of if you win or lose. And that's important to note. They were there. We saw it for the last 5 weeks. We just, a lot of us didn't choose to acknowledge it or didn't want to acknowledge it. And that flaw is their quarterback. He's in his third year in Dak Prescott, but he's inconsistent. He's inaccurate with the football. At times he doesn't make the right read. At times his mechanics are way off. And other times he's really good. He's made some dynamic throws. Throws that just give you a inkling of what the future can hold. But they played the same way on offense they played the last 5 weeks. The only difference was Amari Cooper didn't have 200 yards and take a 10-yard slant, 90 yards to the house, 70 yards to the house. So their offense is flawed. They have a really good defense that I think is fixable based on the performance from yesterday. It was just a bad performance by their defense. The flaws in their offense are damning, and this team's going to go to the playoffs. They're going to win the NFC East. All they have to do is win one of their final two games, and they're in. The question is, what's their ceiling, and is their ceiling based on the inconsistencies of their quarterback?
Tampa and at the Giants. Tampa at home and then at the Giants. I would agree that they figured to wrap it up this week, and they could even get there with a loss out of some of the other NFC East teams, whether the Eagles or Redskins lose. But but if they don't, I mean, I've never heard a coach, Jason Garrett was going to be fired early in the year. Then it's like he's steamrolling and all he needed was a weapon, and they got him that weapon now with Cooper. Now it's all working again. If he doesn't go, if he does falter back to 8-8, would they make a change?
No question. I mean, I've said all year, if they don't make the playoffs, they're going to make a change at coach. And I'm not from anything I know, but just, I mean, I think, you know, they this would be the deciding year. So, I mean, without question, they're going to make a change at coach if they don't make the playoffs, especially based on where they are now. I mean, you need to win one of your final three games to get in, and you don't win any of them, that would just be an absolute disaster. And that would definitely merit a change. The other question, and this is one that Cowboys fans have, is would they make a change even if they make the playoffs? Would they make a change if they make the playoffs and then lose the first round of wild card weekend, which is likely to happen because the Cowboys right now are most likely going to be the 4 seed, and they're going to host Seattle wild card weekend. Seattle-Dallas in Dallas wild card weekend. That should be an easy game. They already lost to Seattle this year, so they're going to have their hands full. So the question is, would they make a change if they lost that game? And I'm convinced they'd make a change to offensive coordinator. They'd fire Scott Linehan. I'm not so certain about Garrett because I do think that even though I've criticized Garrett, you know, there are certain things we've seen over the course of this season that give me hope for his viability for the future. However, they have hired and fired so many coordinators, so many positional coaches. It is just coaching malpractice and organizational malpractice for them to continue to allow Jason Garrett to not be the reason for those hiring and firings. You just can't hire and fire coordinators and positional coaches as often as they have and then not have the responsibility for those failures at those coordinators on Jason Garrett. So I spent the last 5 weeks talking about how much, you know, I've criticized Garrett and feel like he's turned a corner. If they go to the playoffs and lose in the first round and fire Scott Linehan, I don't understand how they could, with any justifiability, not fire Jason Garrett, too, considering how many coordinators and positional coaches they've been through over the last 5-6 years.
Are you sure he's the one making the – sorry, a chair gave out on me. The back end of the chair leaned back. I didn't know it was coming, so all of a sudden I ran into the back. Sorry, I apologize. Just seeing the looks on the people's faces here as I leaned back further than I anticipated.
We're the cops, Aaron.
Fat guy in broken chair. No, but do we know he's got the hiring and firing power over the coaches? Is it his choice, or is Jerry Jones hiring the coaches for him, and therefore he can never really fire Jason Garrett because Jason Garrett just looks at him and go, I didn't want this guy?
You know, that's a great question. I mean, the Cowboys functionally are different now than I think a lot of people view them as, and they're not just this autonomous Jerry Jones sits on his throne and makes these decisions. This is an organization that looks more like most organizations in sports. It's active. You know, Stephen Jones, Jerry's son, he is an important decision maker. Will McClay, their head of pro personnel, he's an important decision maker. So is their coaching staff. When they make draft picks, you know, they're calling in coordinators and positional coaches. So these are decisions that are made inside based on the collective.
Okay.
So I do think, Garrett has been given the autonomy to hire and fire his guys. Now, has every decision, has every coordinator been his? No, absolutely not. And I certainly think the Cowboys, for whatever reason, decided to give Scott Linehan all kinds of leverage this year. I don't know why, but they just decided to go all in with Scott Linehan this year. You know, they basically made all the decisions on, quarterback coach Kellen Moore, Scott Linehan guy. Scott Linehan's decision to not have a number one wide receiver, he thought that was going to be the good role. So, it certainly is beyond Garrett. But I also think, how can you continually, at some point he has to bear responsibility for this. You just can't continue to hire and fire coordinators to keep the coach in place and think that these other coordinators are going to respect the guy that's in place.
All right, great stuff as always. Ari Timken in Dallas. Appreciate it, buddy. Have a great week.
You too as well, Seren. Great catching up. Be well.
With Munch Bishop, Fox Sports Cleveland in Cleveland, Ohio. Munch, how are you, buddy?
Seren, always a pleasure, my friend. I am superb. You feeling the same?
Yeah, doing great here. We're looking forward to the Chiefs getting back on the winning track and getting things going there. We'll see if it doesn't happen in Seattle. But Cleveland rising from the ashes. It's a bit of a Cinderella story, Cleveland Browns making this run. Do they really have a shot? And how much do people think that the Browns are at least now on the right track?
Well, number one, do they have a shot? I'm probably the only one in the city that will scorn for them, so be it, that will mention a play words. I think it's nonsense. I have people calling me and texting me yesterday saying, I've spent 5 hours on the internet up and watching every game for the scenario. No, you know what my scenario is, Seren? Beat Cincinnati, beat Baltimore, and if things fall into place, because I'm not quite sure. It's different, if you're the Bills to go to the Super Bowl 4 times and lose. I'm not quite sure I want this team in the playoffs yet. You say, but Munch, let them get a taste of it. No, because the team has been abused by any good team. And you saw what Kansas City did to them, whatever they wanted, however they wanted. Chargers the same way. Pittsburgh the second time the same way. Who else is in there? Houston the same way. So let them just keep playing and growing and taking it from there. I'll tell you the biggest difference, though. The most important position in any sport, the quarterback. John Dorsey finally had the you-know-what to draft a quarterback at one, where Sashi Brown, and even before Sashi, I won't just pin it on him, they were frightened to make a decision, so they straddled the fence. You straddle the fence, it hurts the boys, okay? The bottom line is, look what the difference has been. The difference has been a feisty young man from Oklahoma by the name of Baker Mayfield, who, by the way, is throwing darts 51 yards into tight windows that are making me scream for joy.
Yeah, there's no doubt. And if you get the quarterback spot right, everything else falls into place. Do they have the head coach right? What are the odds that a guy who's from just up the road from where I sit here at the Chiefs practice facility, Greg Williams, actually ends up holding on to that job?
Brother, I feel they're slight. However, I was not, this past tense, a Greg Williams fan. I mean, here's an example for you. I got calling Greg Williams Bill Belichick. But when Bill was here, he was a horrible coach. And also, he was very tough to deal with media-wise. Well, he raised some money for some orphan children's homes and some battered women's shelters, which I praised him most simply and vehemently. But all of a sudden, he leaves Cleveland, goes and gets a few assistant jobs with Parcells again, goes to New England in his early days, and is the dream of all dreams as a head coach, doing whiteboard sessions with the media, bringing in lunch and things of that nature. Greg Williams sounds like a head coach now. As a defensive coordinator, he sounded like a screaming, raving maniac who had no idea what he was doing. And you know what? It was borne out by him telling us how great the defense was when they were not great. But he's become more of a leader. He's become soft-spoken to the point of, speak softly, carry a big stick. Freddie Kitchens, the Alabama boy, has been superb. I still feel that the chances are slim to none. The groundswell in Cleveland is growing for him. I don't know how much that's going to mean to John Dorsey. I could see a Bruce Arians coming in, saying, okay, Greg, since you were interim, we still like you to run the defense. Your son can't run it any longer. And Freddie, we want you to stick around to run the offense. Or your two choices, I feel there's only two. Williams is named the head coach. But here's the thing. Williams wants 4 years. I don't know if they want to give him four. Worried about him reverting. But you know what else I'm finding? Any team that plays against Greg Williams, they've had somebody involved in Bounty Gate somewhere, somehow, okay? And there's something a little bit extra there. But right today, he has grown on me. If it was announced tomorrow, to get a new defensive coordinator, not his son, he'd be head coach. Freddie would be the quarterback coach. I'd be fine. I'd have to check how many years it's going to be. I wouldn't let him do it for a year, offer that to him.
All right. What kind of ramifications have there been on the Cleveland Police Department for the video that came out, TMZ video, about Kareem Hunt? I'm just curious what kind of reaction there was there around Cleveland on the fact that they didn't get to the bottom of that video or didn't file any kind of charges based on what was on the video that came out.
Brother, I'm glad you mentioned that because that's something that's near and dear to me. I think I mentioned to you years ago one rule my dad gave me as a young kid, I'm talking third or fourth grade, that if I ever struck a woman, abused an older person, abused somebody weaker, abused a kid, you know, kicked the dog or something like that I would no longer have my last name. And he was serious about that. All right? There has been a very, very, much scrutiny. There's been scrutiny put upon the police department. And, boy, they've had a lot of scrutiny upon in the last years as is. It just blows my mind, though, that here's the league, one of the most powerful entities in the world, saying, well, they won't give us the tape because we're not a law enforcement agency. That's a bunch of you-know-what. They had a young rising star that they didn't want to get out there what they're doing. And, Srin, I don't mind telling you this, and I know that he was the dream of KC. I spent 3 hours with his head football coach from high school at a Division II playoff game in town. He kept telling me, Munch, if you lined up every kid from that team and said a kid did what he did, I would choose Kareem last. His sixth grade teacher called me on the air and said, I know people change, but boy, same thing. That would be the last one there. Here's the problem. It's on tape. He did do it, and it was horrific. Oh, by the way, sometimes the worst thing is lying about it, which he ended up doing after, too. But police department-wise, just the whole way it was handled, NFL on the line, to me, is criminal.
I want to be clear. When you say choose him last, they mean least likely to be in this situation, right? Not last person they'd choose based on he had problems. You mean least he's the last guy.
He would be the last one they'd taken to say that he did that.
Okay. Okay. Yes, I see.
Yeah,
okay.
Because the coach could not believe when he thought that it was him. And then again, are there videos of this and that? No. And all of a sudden,
sure.
This is not from Joe who had six shots of freaking tequila at the bar. You're talking to media people going out for a sandwich in between 6 and 11 o'clock news and saying, you know what? Freaking guy bumped into me at a bar, looked at me how guys like to bump elbows or bump shoulders kind of thing. And it's freaking Kareem Hunt. What I mean? It's like, no, dude, I don't have time for this nonsense. So I don't know if he was feeling his money, feeling his liquor, or feeling his fame, but in the off season, more stories are coming out that he wasn't the most pleasant person out and about at bars.
All right, Munch Bishop there in Cleveland. Great stuff as always, buddy. Appreciate it, man. Have a great week.
Brother, you have a great week, too, and I wish I had better news for a guy who really he'd become the pride of Kansas City. Take care, bro.
Thanks.
In my mind, I'm gone to Carolina.
Talk to Brett Jensen, WBT and WFNZ in Charlotte, North Carolina. Brett, how are you, buddy?
Just fine, sir.
All right, let's start things off with North Carolina knocking off Gonzaga, yet still not knocking them off in the polls. I know how fans get when their teams aren't ranked high enough. What's the reaction to that?
Pretty much what you would expect. The same thing happened in Kansas. Gonzaga beat Duke on a neutral court. They went to North Carolina and lost. That's a 3,000 mile flight. So, I get it. And then you look at North Carolina having struggled earlier in the year. So, I don't think it would be that shocking. I probably would have done the same thing when I used to be an AP voter.
All right. How good is Roy's team this year?
They're pretty good. Don't get me wrong. They are a top 10 team. I don't think they are the elite, but it's all going to be based on what happens with their guards. Can they shoot? Can they make threes consistently? Because that's what they lost. They lost a lot of their backcourt. Their frontcourt's still all intact. And, they added a few recruits, as they always do. But it's just going to all come down to their backcourt and how quickly these guys mature, in terms of being able to consistently knock down the three. If they can do that, that'll open things open, wide open in the middle.
All right. Let's talk about the NFL game tonight. Saints are a six-point favorite at Carolina. Where's the mindset of this team with the free fall that they've undergone?
Oh, that's the million-dollar question. I mean, we were just sitting here debating that an hour ago, going, all right, are they just going to roll over and play dead if they get down 10-0, or is this going to be a catalyst, you know, for, like, you know, what's happening to be, a kick in the rear end? Like, you know, I don't know. Like, it's just, you know, there are people saying, oh, well, Cam's only 80% because of his shoulder. I mean, there's just a lot of unknowns about this team. Well, there is a known fact that the defense is porous and the secondary is just atrocious. But and the offensive line has been in patchwork all year. And you know that Christian McCaffrey is going to be stellar, but you don't know what Cam's going to do. You don't know what the offense is going to do. I mean, it's just been the free fall. I think I even told you in the preseason that I wouldn't think the over-under was 9 or 10 games, and I said go the under on Vegas. And so, I mean, I just – the defense was always going to be a question mark, and the offensive line was always going to be a question mark, and you've seen both of those come to fruition just because – like, they just don't have the talent. And now, so the talk is, where would the team will do tonight? Will they get embarrassed again? And if they get embarrassed again, will Ron Rivera survive the week? Like, that's the talk.
Is there any chance if they, if they lose out, let's say, and they've got the Saints, Falcons at home, and then at the Saints, two of their last three against the Saints. And I know we'll see if the Saints need that game. Maybe that gives them a shot, and that's the silver lining. If they would lose out, is there any chance he's retained?
See, they went 11-5 last year. So, I told someone probably like 3-4 days ago, I said, I don't care if you dig up the bones of Vince Lombardi. He's not making this defense any better. I mean, it's just not going to happen. They just don't have the talent. And is that Ron Rivera's fault? I mean, I don't know. Again, last year with a different team, different offensive line, you know, they went 11-5. And my personal belief is that he gets one more year. I'm not positive the general manager will still be here. But I don't know, even if they lose out, I don't know how you replace Rivera, two-time coach of the year, went 11-5 last year. So, you know, there seems to be really the city of Charlotte, really by the people who actually cover the team, seem to be split 50-50 on that question.
Yeah, it's amazing. All right, they can't change the whole roster. So if it's broken, then they're going to go to the coach when it's all said and done. It's kind of a tough spot because if you beat the Saints, then they're less likely to have the Saints have the season on ice, right? I mean, that's the problem is you knock them down, they're back in a tie with the Rams. They have the tiebreaker. The Rams have at Arizona and San Francisco at home. So it looks like they're not going to probably fall at Arizona. So the Saints would need that final game of the year. Plus the Saints also have the Steelers in between those two games with Carolina. That's a tough one. So they may bring in everything they got against Carolina at the end. So a tough spot for the Panthers right now. And Ron Rivera, listen, we're always on the lookout for defensive coordinators and defensive coordinators that have a link to Andy Reid. Ron Rivera and Todd Bowles are names that Chiefs fans are mentioning as their next defensive coordinator if there would be a change here in Kansas City. So we'll see what happens, watching very closely what happens down there in Carolina. Brett Jensen, WFNZ and WBT in Charlotte. Great stuff. As always, my friend, have a great week.
You too, my man. Thanks, bud.